Joining us, the pride of Springport, State Rep Sarah Leitner this morning. How you doing?
Good morning. Thank you. I'm doing well. Thanks for having me today.
Having the time of your life.
Oh, you know, just living the dream every single day.
I know one issue that's got you upset is the unemployment insurance. Big issue.
Oh, yeah. So before we get into that, though, Greg, I just want to give a quick shout out to all the frontline workers that we have working all over the state, especially all my peeps in, you know, Jackson County, Eaton County, and Lenawee County. You know, really, their sacrifices that they've made have, you know, not gone unnoticed. I've talked to many of them, even some here locally in Springport that are on the front lines working in healthcare, law enforcement, corrections, all those people. And I just want to say, I wanted to start off with a positive and say that I appreciate all your guys' work and sacrifice during this crisis.
Absolutely.
Now, moving into the unemployment, we have had literally thousands of emails, phone calls during this last, you know, 8-10 weeks. And, you know, we have a special select committee for oversight right now on this COVID crisis that we've been working with Representative Matt Hall on, just to get some questions answered on processes, because we have cases that are still pending from, you know, early April.
Sure.
And, you know, they implemented a new system in May. Like May 14th, we entered our first case into the new system on May 15th. None of those cases have been touched yet. They haven't even been assigned. All of our April cases have been assigned, but nothing has been processed with them. And, as you also know, the state has a bunch of furloughed workers as well. And they're told which days they're furloughed. And that has caused a problem also.
Mm-hmm.
And I understand, you know, that we are in an unprecedented time. I get that. But, you know, when you have a setup and you have expanded a program within your state department, you know, it seems like when you make that decision, you would work with your state department to, you know, get the able bodies there to process claims. And, you know, we heard testimony the other day in the oversight committee that, you know, it literally was only, you know, hours, within a day, you know, the same day the decision was made, or maybe the day before. And so, you know, the state system is failing us. I hear these stories every day. I still got a bunch of phone calls yesterday while we were in Lansing, entering unemployment cases. And, you know, we have to do something. And, you know, I've written to the governor asking her, what can we do to help? And then, you know, letting her know the stories, because apparently the department was also unaware that people have been waiting 8+ weeks for their payments.
Well, they should be the first one that knows.
No, you would think. You would think that, you know, you'd be able to see, you know, see in the system the date that a claim was entered, and then,
right,
you know, get processing that. But I don't know what their, you know, processes look like, because it seems like it changes. And there's no rhyme or reason sometimes. Like, for instance, we did have one case in the portal that was supposed to be assigned. It was assigned for a couple hours, and it was a date in the middle. It wasn't even one of the first cases we entered, and then it disappeared. The assignment disappeared and just, you know, said pending, basically. So I'm not sure how they're prioritizing cases, because in my experience, in my own office, with the people we are trying to help, it's not by date. So I don't know what's going on. We continue to push and call and, you know, be a squeaky wheel in Lansing as far as that goes. You know, understanding that they still need to do a job. But, you know, there's some tasks that have, that I think that could be allowed within our offices, like unlocking their portal. You know, if you've had an unemployment case before, even in the last couple of years, your user and password is still in there. And so, of course, that locks people out because they're like, I don't know what it is. I don't remember that. And, you know, so that has caused a serious delay. And right. then, you know, they've called literally hundreds of times just to be on hold and then get hung up on. And then, you know, even the governor's constituent line this last week has been flooded as well, you know, outside of the unemployment line.
So the system is broke. What can anybody do?
Well, you know, we've just been advocating for reaching out to our offices. The sad thing is, you know, we have 110 offices in the house, obviously, and, you know, we compile hundreds of cases a week. And the sad reality is, you know, we can't even get through sometimes. And, you know, right. it seems like it would be easier to work with our 110 and deal with each of those cases through our offices and help get these people, you know, the benefits that they need. Because they didn't ask to be laid off. I mean, these people are, you know, in desperate times now. I mean, they were forced to be laid off. They were forced to stay home. And, you know, if you're not going to fix the system, you need to get us back to work. You need, that's the bottom line. You need to open things back up. And, you know, I continue to advocate for them to keep trying. We also try, but it's sad when, you know, we don't get a response for 10 to 14 days ourselves.
So, not opening up, what, quickly enough?
Sure. I mean, think about it, Greg. We have these people who have been off 8 to 10 weeks, probably, a lot of them.
Right.
And I understand the federal expansion for the federal dollars. You know, that kicked in April. But we still have people from the beginning of April or even late March that are still waiting. I had some people testify yesterday, actually. Well, one testified via Zoom. The other one, you know, told their story, but the hearing went really, really late because session went late yesterday. But, you know, if you're going to force people into a layoff and you promise to take care of them, you need to follow through on your promise. Let us know what you need. And I think that's the other sad reality that we're faced with right now is the executive branch hasn't allowed the legislature to really be helpful to her administration during this time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like I said, I think there's simple things within the program because it's online that, you know, our offices could be helpful in unlocking, you know, oh, hey, I see that, you know, your login password, you know, help resetting those, you know, doing those simple steps so people can access their accounts. But when you promise them, you know, that, yep, you're going to get unemployment, you're going to get paid, you know, we know that, you know, COVID's a real thing and we have to shut down your employment source, then you need to take care of them. And 8 to 10 weeks without paychecks out of our people.
Yeah.
I mean, granted, you know, at some point we take responsibility for ourselves, you know, and manage our finances. But some people just are on the struggle bus, you know, weekly as it is. And they may have minimal savings, but they can't get through 10 weeks of trying to continue to pay their bills
right.
and feed their families and buy medications and, you know, things like that, just basic necessities. And we need to get these people taken care of. And, you know, we have reached out. I have sent multiple letters to the governor's office. I have not received a response during this entire COVID crisis from the governor's office. You know, and that's disappointing because, you know, we do have, we're working from home. There's things we can do. Just, you know, tell us what you need. And I know we have expanded the workforce. They expanded bandwidth for UIA. But, you know, some of the top people within UIA and LEO, which is covering some of the business aspects, mm-hmm. are furloughed twice a week, you know. So why are you furloughing people within a department that really needs to be working 24/7 to get caught up?
Yeah, that doesn't make a lot of sense.
Mm-mm. And I think that's a lot of the problem that we're seeing is, you know, a lot of the decisions being made aren't being made with using common sense and, you know, or logic sometimes. And, you know, I've been told multiple times, oh, Sarah, logic doesn't work in Lansing. You're so funny. And I'm like, why doesn't it? You know, we're common people. This makes sense, you know. And in what world do we live in where, you know, earlier on, obviously, we had, you know, the lockdown of, you know, what were deemed non-essential medical services, which finally are reopening. But, you know, I had my own experience over the, you know, just Tuesday. Our rural hospitals are working with bare-bones staff right now. It's ridiculous. I mean, I ended up blowing out my knee is what I did. I waited four and a half hours on Tuesday in my hospital.
No.
Because they're on bare bones.
Right. So they're on layoff?
It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
But, you know, during that time, you could get an abortion because that was deemed kind of essential. But, you know, I've heard from people, this lady was diagnosed with her blood cancer. And she wasn't able to procure her plan for treatment. And here we are, you know, 8 weeks later, just now being able to get back into those things. Even my own husband, his heart appointment isn't until, you know, the middle of June, and he was due just when COVID hit in late March. So,
right.
You know, it's sad. You know, the rhyme or reason behind some of the essential versus non-essential was ridiculous. And I know we talked about that before. So I just think, you know, it would be nice if they would utilize more common sense, utilize people who actually are out and about that are talking to constituents within Michigan instead of shutting all the voices of the people of Michigan out.
Well, they the medical services are coming back, but they're making their own decisions. I know some of them are they're still closed. They're still closed down because they won't let me in.
Yeah, and, you know, it's sad. And, you know, we're not only talking about medical services, but, you know, any other types of services. People are getting restless. It's nice out. You know, we've been on lockdown. We've seen a decrease. You know, parts of Michigan obviously opened last week, which was great. It was a step in the right direction. However, I still think more could have been done. And I think that more needs to be done quickly. Because, you know, we have a lot of smart people in Michigan. And, you know, one of the other issues that I have is, you know, with our business communities not being able to reopen yet. And, I, you know, we need to get them up and running. Because, you know, ultimately, we're just running up a tab in Michigan. Yes, we do get some federal dollars. But, you know, we had, our business community had a pool of like $4 billion, you know, for unemployment. And that's going to be exhausted by, I think, the end of July. And, you know, she talked about interest-free loans from the government to continue to pay some benefits. But ultimately, to restock that unemployment insurance fund, the business owners are going to pay that. And, you know, it's been said that they're not going to recalculate the formula for the employers. But regardless, the employers still pay that unemployment. So, you know, when you put these people out of business, you're going to have less people paying into that fund that are going to be able to, you know, cover the tab for the decisions that the governor has made. And you're not allowing them to open. What sense does that make?
Whatever way you slice it, Sarah, the budget is going to be, what, a mess at best?
Oh, yeah. That's putting it lightly. I mean, we already know that we're looking at about $3 billion for this year and same for next year. And so, you know, probably $4 to $6 billion total between school aid and general fund. And we know that school aid this year is about $1.3 billion in the negative. And, you know, I know that Senator Shirky made it a priority also for education to be, you know, continue to fully fund that at the level that we currently are.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're working on, you know, different solutions, looking at all the budgets and trying to just work through that and tighten the belt because, you know, I still think there's money in the budget that's being spent on, you know, one area instead of something that would benefit the whole. And, you know, we're going to have to make those tough decisions on where we're cutting or tightening the belt or funding at a lesser level. And, you know, that's something that we look at and that we talk about every day.
Are you hearing from school leaders?
Yeah. Julie Alexander and I have both, you know, we submitted a joint, like, letter email to our locals, our superintendents, and also asking them for solutions. And, you know, they've been great about responding. And Julie is really spearheading that because she's in the education realm more than I am. You know, I've been in the corrections realm and the legal realm. So that's more of my wheelhouse, but we still continue to talk about those. I mean, I was just in her office yesterday, you know, because we're right next to each other in Lansing. So these are, you know, we're looking for solutions from everyone. I don't mind people complaining about something if they help us and they give us solutions. Because like I said before, we have lots of smart people in Michigan. I'm just like a voice for my constituents.
How about corrections? It looked early on like that was going to be a real big issue, but they've kind of waded through this mess, haven't they?
Yeah, they did. You know, it was a rocky road, I'll tell you, at the beginning. Yeah. You know, but as this process has gone on, they've implemented a lot of different new procedures. The entire prison system has been tested as of Friday. I don't think I have the full results yet back, but all prisoners at all locations have at least been tested.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, of course, in Jackson, we did have, you know, quite a few cases in Jackson. And then, you know, we've had some deaths within corrections itself. We've had two officers who have passed away, and I think about 50-ish inmates out of the 34,000-35,000 that we have incarcerated.
So they have done a pretty good job, would you say?
With the inmates? Yeah, you know, from what I know, I'm not on the inside. I only hear things secondhand through officers. I know, like I said, in the beginning, the first couple of weeks, it was a rocky road. I'll tell you that. I have had numerous officers reach out to me. And, you know, I got on the ball right away about just different things, different procedures, different policies, what they should be doing, you know. I think it's a step in the right direction. I think at some point the oversight committee will probably look into, you know, corrections and actions that were taken. But, you know, you have to remember, you're in an area, when you're in corrections and you're in a prison, you're in a confined space. You're in small spaces. They're only allowed to go to certain spaces. Obviously, they congregate because that's all there is to do.
Right.
But I will say one of the interesting things that did come out of this is, you know, we have the prison down in, you know, Coldwater, which is predominantly, you know, it's the older population.
Yep.
So I did visit that prison before, not during COVID, but, you know, one of the interesting things there is they have a little over 1,400 inmates there, and a little over half of them, almost 60% of them, tested positive for COVID.
Wow.
And one of the most interesting things to me there was over 80% of those almost 60 didn't have any symptoms.
Yeah, that's scary.
They were asymptomatic.
Yeah.
But, you know, in that place, they were able to, you know, split it into two, and then just rather than move those inmates to another prison, they split the prison. So they had a COVID side and a non-COVID side.
Well, we can't drive up now and get a test without anybody's permission. That's a plus.
Yeah, mostly. And, you know, even if you, some places might think that you still need permission, you can get permission from, you know, a PA, a nurse, or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But pretty much anyone that has any symptoms can be tested. We have, you know, we got federal funds for that. You'll see those at Rite Aid's. And I think CBS came on board. You know, and still, in Eaton Rapids in particular, you know, we have lots of tests at the medical facility as well.
So, Sarah, you have a lot of constituents that are PO'd. What's your advice for them? Is there anything they can do, or you hate to hear hang on?
Yeah, I know. I get it. I'm sick of hearing hang on, and it's not even my direct case I'm dealing with. But, you know, when a promise is made to do something, you know, you should make lots of effort to follow through with that. And I feel for these people. I really do. And, you know, I'm trying the best I can. I've reached out to the executive branch. I would just like them to maybe reach back out to me, you know, so I can help them in whatever way I can. I mean, if they just told me what to do, I would do it, you know. I'm continuing to advocate for the people that reach out to me on a daily basis. And, you know, we'll get through this eventually. My I guess, request would be to continue to reach out to my office. Uh-huh. You can reach me at 517-373-1775 or sarahleitner@house.mi.gov. And, you know, we'll tell your story, too, to the governor. But really, I think a lot of people need to reach out also to her constituent line, email her staff, and demand that there is action and that we open Michigan back up.
So did you get your knee taken care of?
Well, I see my specialist on Wednesday.
Okay. Are you walking?
So, anyways. Yeah, with a brace.
Okay.
Yep. Yeah. It's not a good situation. It's not a great time to be gimped up because, you know, I had projects at home I'm still trying to work through. Mm-hmm. When I get a minute. I have my earbuds in and, you know, I wanted to get a load of mulch, and that's not happening anytime soon. So, I don't know. Maybe I'll have to reach out to some landscapers and be like, hey, I'll pay you. Come make my house look pretty again.
Well, if you hear anything positive on this unemployment insurance, let us know.
I definitely will. Thanks for having me today.
Thank you, Sarah. State Rep. Sarah Leitner.